Research shows repair, repair, repair. We're going to make mistakes, but we can always go back and fix that.
Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips, and this is season 7 of the Kindness Podcast, and I am joining you from Raleigh, North Carolina. This season, we are going to ask big questions that start with, what does kindness look like when? And today, I'm excited because we're going to talk about what does kindness look like in one of the toughest places, which is, I believe, our homes with our own people, including our own teenagers. If you have one of those, you know what I'm talking about. My guest, trauma expert Shanna Reyes, has spent nearly 2 decades helping people understand how the brain and the nervous system respond to stress. She's joining me to talk about how kindness can change the way we communicate with our kids, especially as they head home for the holidays. Shan, I think it's important that we tell everybody we met in a parking lot.
We did.
It's kind of weird, but we did.
What?
And I had been kind of thinking about the podcast a lot and about whether I wanted to bring it back because I had spent the past 2 years on hiatus while I was getting my master's degree. So I thought, I don't know, is it worth it? Like, are there stories to keep telling? I don't know. And then I met you in the parking lot and you told me a bit of your story. And I thought, you know what? There are still people doing amazing things. And if I can amplify those stories a little bit and remind people that there's such good things happening in the world, then I need to do that. So would you share with people, if you can remember what we talked about in the parking lot,
I do.
What you shared with me?
I was telling you about having worked in mental health and all the levels of care and just some of the things that I noticed that were disheartening and not what I expected going into the field. I really thought that it would be an ideal image of what you imagine when you're working on your degree, that everyone was displaying kindness and empathy and integrity. And I saw things that were different. So I decided to open my own company just about 8 years ago, and I named it Integrity Counseling and Wellness, just for that reason of bringing integrity to the community in mental health.
And you mentioned something in particular with young people. Is that kind of your heart, or have you branched out, or was that where you started?
I started with young people. I worked with all ages of kids, and I eventually worked on the trauma niche that I have now.
Yeah. And so do you find that, I mean, what does trauma look like for kids? Do you find like trauma, if a teenager has experienced trauma, everyone in their lives will know that they've experienced trauma? Or for teenagers, can it be something that as a parent, I might not even know my kid's going through?
No, that is that's an excellent question, because it's very easy for a person to not be able to detect that. When I'm talking to clients or other people, I don't always use the word trauma. I like to use adverse events. So we can just think of an event that was terrible for you and has an effect on you now. Also, if you're thinking in terms of development, the brain kind of develops bottom up. So that means earlier traumas are going to have a longer effect throughout your entire life. It's building upon that. So those early traumas are very important and easy to be overlooked in children, teens, and adults.
And when we're talking about trauma, what are some examples of what that might look like?
It could range from anything from car accidents or bodily injuries that are accidental to neglect or abuse in the home. So it can be emotional and verbal. If we have repeated small emotional and verbal neglect or abuse, that has a really big impact on the person's outcome, their self-esteem, who they feel they are as a person, their ability to set boundaries and communicate and develop healthy relationships are some examples of areas that would be affected.
And so then to bring hope to this part of it, you're saying healing can happen.
Absolutely. Healing is absolutely something that can happen. It doesn't have to take forever. It just, you need the right therapist, the right type of therapy that works for you, and just to apply that to a person who's in a place where they can accept that help.
So I have three kids, 21, 20, and 15, and every one of them came out of the womb their own creation, right? So different from the other ones. And so talking to them is tricky because as a parent, I have to navigate how one will talk to me and the other one won't talk to me, right? Right. Currently, I live with a 15-year-old boy who's like, feelings? What feelings? You know? So where as a parent do we even broach entering into helping our kids talk with us? Like, how do I get them to talk to me?
I think one of the most important things is that as a child is getting older, you're going to notice that the time that you have with them is less. So you need to use that time pretty strategically. And it doesn't need to start out necessarily as I need to lecture you on this or remind you about that or bug you about this. And that's the hardest part for a parent because we're so worried about how are they going to do this? Will they forget something? What's it going to be like in their future? But what we really need to do is try to ask them some questions to help them figure out what they need to do, what's the right decision, and how to build these skills that they're going to need going into adulthood. And we also just need to validate and empathize because the experience for kids now in our society is so different than other generations. You know, they have a lot of pressure with homework, school is different, there's social media, expectations from other peers. So it's a different world.
So what does a good question, a kind question look like for our kids?
I would say anything that asks them about just even how was your day today, which they might not necessarily want to start out that conversation, but then to get into some details. What are some things that you enjoyed about your day? How are you feeling about yourself? How are you feeling about your friendships? Is there anything that I can support you with? I noticed that you seemed a little irritable when you came home from school. Is there anything you want to talk about? Because I'm here for you. Those types of things. But then whenever they start to answer the question, you really have to refrain yourself from going into lecture mode. Because that's one of the things that teens don't necessarily want to accept. They're trying to figure things out on their own, and they need to have space to be able to do that.
Yeah. Natural consequences. When they were toddlers, I could do natural consequences, I felt like, right? And now I'm like, I don't know, like natural consequences feel like they're going to be awfully big. You know, my kid comes home and says, oh, I'm upset because I didn't do well on a test. And I say, well, did you study for the test? You know, like, and then I want to put it back in my mouth and be like, shh, yes. Mom. Yeah.
We could reframe it into what would you do differently next time?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay. Does it work on husbands too and spouses? And
I would like to hope so.
I feel like if somebody asked me the question that way, I might be more likely to be like, okay, yeah, right? Instead of feeling dogged by somebody.
Yeah, with a teenager, so, they want to come on their own to that.
Yeah, right. And the answers, I think, are inside of all of us and most of the time, or we know where to go for good answers to things, people we can trust. And yeah, but I like to spoon feed sometimes. So you're right, Shanna, I got to back away from that. Okay, so here's another question. Holiday breaks come, college kids come home. I remember being a college kid coming home. And my parents' rules, I lived with my dad, and my dad's same rules were in effect. And I was like, what do you mean I have to be home at a certain time? Like, I live at college. I go out as late as I want. So when our college kids come home, what is a good way to enjoy that time with them, to re-enter that space with them? Understanding that they're kind of adults, but this is kind of my home.
I feel like this is going to be just around healthy communication and a lot of awareness between both people the college kid and the parents on what the expectations are and how can we meet in the middle? Is there a way that we can negotiate through this that feels comfortable for everybody, that's not like a violation of the parents' rules, but also doesn't take over the independence of the adult? So I think a healthy communication around that would be the most important thing to start with. That's going to teach them to have some potentially difficult conversations with other people as well. It's a great example of how do we have these assertive, skill building, skill using conversations that might be uncomfortable and have some flexibility, but everybody's happy and able to meet in the middle or somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for a family who doesn't normally, sit down and have family meetings or something like that, the kid shows up in the front door. What does it look like? What's the step by step? What's the practical application for what it should look like? Is it the minute they step in, or what do you think?
No, I think I would give them some time. So John and Julie Gottman, they're actually relationship, researchers, but mm-hmm. they use this for interpersonal relationships. There's like a soft startup. So you never want to really just jump into something because it may put someone on the defensive automatically. So their soft startup is a tool that you can use if you want to give some feedback that may or may not be accepted, or if you need to voice an opinion that's not necessarily the most positive. But if you're going to start a conversation that's difficult, you could always use like a soft startup with, hey, how are you doing? I have, some things that I want to cover. Is this a good time for us to talk about this? Because you're kind of getting a little buy-in there. And when the person, you have to be aware that they might say, no, it's not a good time. I want to go take my shoes off and wash my face or whatever it is. But if they say, yeah, I'm open to this, then there's kind of your little doorway into, let's have this conversation together. I'm speaking with you kindly, not at you.
That's a big difference, right? Yeah. And I see that word communication come up again and again and again with you in alignment with kindness. So I feel like a big takeaway for people might just be communicate, right? Mm-hmm. And say what you need to say. And then you've given us this soft opening for that as well, which is beautiful, beautiful. So if you could put one phrase on every parent's refrigerator as a reminder, something they should look at and think about before they talk to their teen, what would it be?
Think from their shoes first.
Oh.
Teenagers, they're dealing with a lot emotionally, hormonally. I mean, there's just so much going on. And sometimes I think as adults, we forget about that. There might be years that we've forgotten.
Yeah.
The teens are in the middle of it. And it's easy, like I said, to not be aware of what they're going through. And they don't know what we're going through. They haven't come to that path yet. But as adults, we do have a responsibility to be empathetic and kind and emotionally mature as we're speaking to our kids. This is one of the most important relationships you're going to have in your life and that they will have in theirs. So we want to be very careful with that. And it can break the bond if we're not communicating appropriately. Mm-hmm. Although I do want to mention, and it's very important, that research shows repair, repair, repair. We're going to make mistakes, but we can always go back and fix that. So the repair mechanisms are so important and can make your relationships stronger. And it's also the foundation for their future relationships. And we have the responsibility, the duty, and it's an honor for us to be able to keep this in mind because we are helping them to grow into who they're going to be as future adults.
Yeah, we can model that for them. Yeah. So then I need to know with the repair, 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 because that just feels so hopeful, right? Like, it's okay. It's all right. We're all going to make mistakes, give grace. does repair have to happen with, you know, a licensed clinical clinician? Or is it, are there ways to repair if I feel like, ooh, I might have misstepped?
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be with a licensed clinician. If you feel that it's to the point that that's something that is necessary, by all means, reach out. But you can just say, hey, you know what? I raised my voice. And I really have been thinking about that. At any moment that a person feels that it's weighing on their heart, that is the moment that you have an opportunity to go to whoever it is you need to communicate with and let them know that you made a mistake. Maybe you didn't have food all day, you worked 16 hours, whatever it is. And although those aren't excuses, it increases the risk that you may raise your voice or start your conversation off in a non-soft startup way, like a hard startup, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have that opportunity as soon as you notice that in yourself to go back and make a correction. And this is going to let your kids know, wow, my parents really care. One, they really care about my feelings, and that's so important in teaching them how valuable they are to you as a person,
yeah,
and just in general. And also, it's okay, because kids make mistakes too, and they need to know how they can make corrections in their errors as well, and it's not something that we have to feel ashamed of.
Mm-hmm. I love the grace that you give and the empathy with which you speak about this, because it does matter to me, right? As a parent, I mean, I think every parent, it matters. We want to do it right. And so, you know, we try and try again. I appreciate you coming on the Kindness Podcast. I'm wondering if you have a favorite story of kindness that you would be willing to share with us, either something you did and how it made you feel, or a time when kindness showed up when you needed it, or something you noticed.
I think the most important, I guess you could say, person who showed me kindness would be my grandfather. He just was someone with a lot of integrity, and he gave me these examples of how to treat other people. And I remember always going back to the golden rule and treating others as you wish to be treated. And just, although it was, there were lectures, it gave me so much of a strong foundation to stand on. So that's the most important thing for me personally, is just going back to my values.
Love it. Anything else you want to add today to our conversation?
I just thank you for having me, and it's been great, you know, speaking with you, and that's really it.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate having you here, Shanna, so much, and I think that we all have lots of things that we will now take from Shanna. So I want to thank all of you also for listening or viewing and coming along on this ride as we start season 7 of the Kindness Podcast. I hope this conversation with Shanna reminds me that kindness isn't about being perfect. Thank goodness. It's about staying curious and staying connected, even when things get hard. If this episode of the Kindness Podcast resonated with you, and you can think of a parent or a friend who could use some encouragement right now, I hope that you will share it with them. And as always, remember, what you look for is what you will see. Have a great day.